Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen McGabinow, and welcome to episode 41 of the Process Breakdown Podcast. Are you struggling with getting everyone on your team unified and on the same page? How productive or effective is your team? Are you currently taking on tasks that you're not good at or don't enjoy doing because you have employees who are not delivering your desired results? In this interview, my guest, who is a COO, Chief Operating Officer of a well-known company, reveals how she got our entire team on the same page by clearly defining business terms and having every employee go through a proprietary training program. You will also discover how she was able to get all our employees to do their work in half the time and deliver the results that she desires. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. Are you tired of being the bottleneck in your business? Do you want to get everything out of your head and document step by step how you get tasks done so your employees know what you know? Well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. And now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Lena Request, and she is the Chief Operating Officer at Entreport. Lena, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so let's jump right in. What exactly does your company do, and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Well, our company is a marketing automation platform, and what the pain point we solve for our customers is we have thousands of customers that try to deliver their products and services to the world but get stopped by technology. They want to be online with a website. They want autoresponders. They want a shopping cart. They want an affiliate program. They want all these fancy tools that, you know, all these enterprise companies are using. Yeah. But either they can't afford it or they're not an engineer, they're not a designer, and they just can't take it on themselves. So our software is enterprise tools for the very small business that is just simple to use, drag and drop, a few clicks, and you're in business online using the automation tools that are available out in the world.
So basically, if they're trying to automate their marketing and sales, your tool is the place to go.
Absolutely, yes.
Good. And so my listeners always want to understand the scale of the business. So how many full-time employees do you currently have?
Well, we're at 88 right now, but we just hired 20 more, so we're over 100 officially.
Wow. And what was last year's annual revenue and maybe what you're expecting to do this year?
Last year, we did just over $8 million, and this year, we're on track to do about 13.
That's awesome. So, you are the Chief Operating Officer at Entreport, and the interview really is to understand how you guys got to the point where the business is systematized and can run without yourself as well as the CEO, Landon. So let's go ahead and talk about what was the lowest point in the business and describe how bad it got.
Well, I guess there's two different things. I would say systemizing and the lowest point in the business might be two different things. They're definitely the lowest point in our business is when, we launched a new feature early on and we didn't necessarily have the systems and processes in place to properly, QA features early on in our development. But now we do, which that was always very challenging, launching new features. but nowadays, I guess probably the biggest challenge, I guess this is the question you're asking, not necessarily the lowest point. The biggest challenge we faced in growing this business is really getting our staff to execute and deliver on their work and deadlines and staying on track and keeping, the ship running and moving forward when you have a lot of people and there's only, one leader. And it just can become very overwhelming. And keeping track of what everybody's supposed to be doing and their deadlines and their projects, and who's working on what projects and the different resources you need is just is a bit too much and too much. I couldn't keep it all in my head.
Yes. During the pre-interview, you even mentioned that, you know, when moving from 25 to 26 employees, you literally had no more brain space to track everyone's work. So talk about that so the listener understand what was going on at that point.
Yeah. So this was just in 2011. We, you know, 25 employees, it seemed like the ship was running smoothly.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of processes that we were operating, and the staff was really awesome. We were a tight-knit group, and everybody was doing their best work. And it was a lot of fun. Our business was growing. And then we added just one more employee, and it felt like my head exploded. All of a sudden, I just didn't have any more capacity to remember what everybody was supposed to be doing. I just couldn't, like, keep track of, you know, this person was on vacation and this person was supposed to deliver this thing by Friday and this person was supposed to do this and that. And everybody had questions, you know, just a line at my door every day. Question. It was just too much.
Another thing you mentioned during the pre-interview is that you also needed a better way to train employees on business maintenance tasks. And I think you also have to explain what you mean by business maintenance tasks as well to the listener.
Yeah. So, It was around that same time that, you know, part of the problem with these employees, and they're asking me questions and why I just couldn't keep track of it all, is because I was driving all the projects. I was the one who was saying, okay, you need to do this and you need to do that, and assigning out all the work. I'm an excellent delegator. And so, you know, assigning out all the work to everybody was great and easy for me. But then at 26, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't, you know, I needed my staff to be able to drive projects themselves. I needed them to see opportunities in the business and take advantage of them. I needed them to see challenges that, you know, where things were just totally inefficient and fix them instead of coming to me and relying on me to do that. And so part of how this all came, you know, the solution to this all came about was I was talking to one of our advisors on the phone and expressing to him, you know, my challenge with the staff and how I was overwhelmed and, you know, they just can't come up with these projects and why do I have to do everything sort of a thing. I'm sure many of your listeners can relate to that. And he said, well, the thing is, you just can't teach people to be drivers. You know, there's either people who, I guess the Buddha says they're either floaters or swimmers,
yeah.
You know, and there's either people who know how to drive projects or people who don't. And I am a big believer in the human potential. So I just couldn't believe that that was true. And so I took that on as a personal challenge and I said, challenge accepted, and went to work developing a training program to teach my staff of 26 how to be drivers and actually how to relieve me of this burden of doing it all myself. And that's where the Driver's Ed series came from.
Let me see if I can even make it clear for the listeners, because during the pre-interview, you mentioned that they're like, primarily two types of tasks that you guys are doing. The project-based task, maybe like launching a new feature is a project. And then there are the tasks that were repetitive, which you call the business maintenance task. And the issue you were having, especially with the business maintenance task, was that there was no training to teach them those repetitive tasks that are going to always keep happening, right? And this is where you now started talking with the advisor who said, oh, maybe you didn't hire the right people in the first place. And you said, nah, I mean, you spend the time to handpick and pick these people on. You were not going to fire anybody and replace anybody. And that's where you now decide that you were going to build the Driver's Ed training program, right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. So most people think that work is work. You know, all work is the same. But in reality, there's actually two different kinds of work.
Yeah.
There's like your business maintenance tasks, which are the repetitive work that you do in your business just to stay afloat, right? This mm-hmm. is like answering customer service calls, you know, paying your bills, you know, trying to generate new leads. And then there's project work, which is about growing your organization and taking on new initiatives. So, you know, part of the challenge, and especially around systemizing, is getting really clear about what your business maintenance tasks are, and, you know, separating out the two and getting really clear about what your business maintenance tasks are, and creating processes for all of them. Because then you can streamline those processes and make yourself really efficient. So in the driver's ed course, one of the first things we teach our employees how to do is how to reduce their workload of business maintenance from 100% of their time to 50% of their time.
Why?
So they have the opportunity to take on project work.
Okay. And the project work is what makes them grow to the next level. Am I correct with this?
Yes. The project work helps them, keeps them engaged. Mm-hmm. It's why people want to come to work. It allows them to contribute to the organization. It helps them grow to the next level. It allows them to own and drive projects, which was my complaint and early on, and is incentive for them to get their business maintenance tasks done fast and efficiently because it's a reward. And it's a huge benefit to the organization, because now you have an army of people executing on all your ideas and initiatives, which you thought you probably were the only one who could do. So it's really a kind of an interesting concept, especially if you can imagine like almost doubling your workforce without spending a single dime more, because you're able to get your staff to do all their work in half the time.
And that's awesome. And so I want to take the employee, the listener, back to at that point where you decided that you wanted to, you know, create this driver's ed training program. What was the first thing you did, or how did you go about laying out this program? You know, can you take us back?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I probably spent a month or so kind of getting in the mind of the employee. Like I had a few different employees here that I used as my avatar. that, you know, I had rock star employees that always did everything right and reported. And then I had the ones that were kind of middle of the road, you know, B-rated yeah. employees. And then there were the employees that just were like really cool people and like a great cultural fit and had a lot of potential, but were lazy. because we didn't have any bad employees. You know, everybody was great. You know, we just had a few people that were a little lazy and maybe lacked the proper motivation. And so I went through a few of these employee avatars and like tried to understand where they were coming from and what challenges, you know, get into their world and what mm-hmm. challenges they were facing in terms of doing their job. And what I discovered was the perception from them that they were constantly being told to jump from task to task to task. They were constantly told to change directions.
Yeah.
And it was very frustrating for them. It probably felt a lot like, you know, an entrepreneur feels like when they're constantly jumping from fire to fire to fire.
Yeah.
You know, having to deal with all the things it takes to run their business. It feels a little bit like you're out of control. It feels like you have no input in your destiny. And, you know, you're just a taskmaster. You're a glorified assembly line worker.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got that perspective, it was really easy for me to shift it, to take it from that starting point of A to get it to the ending point of B, which is where I wanted them to be. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And so you basically understood what the problem was and then created kind of a step-by-step map in order for them to get to the end goal. And that we're going to cover that in detail as we go through the interview. And but one of the things you mentioned is you made it mandatory for all current and new employees to go through the driver's ed program, which is now actually taught by the director of education, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
You also mentioned this story that really makes this point of the need for the driver's head education thing come across clearly during the pre-interview. You mentioned that story about, can you talk about the story about the kickball team and how you went from losing streak to winning games?
Yeah, so I like to use this analogy. because it's a funny one and it's true. So we have a kickball team at Entreport, and for seven, we've had it for years, since like 2010. And for seven seasons, we lost every single game. And it wasn't for a lack of having, you know, good players or bad players. It was, we had a lot of really athletic people on our team. But for some reason, we kept on losing every game.
Yeah.
Until someone decided that they were going to, we're going to do a little practice after work. And they taught the team, they taught us one or two plays, just one or two plays. Okay, when someone kicks it to this area in the outfield, you're going to throw it to this base and then to, you know, the pitcher or to home plate or whatever. Just this is what's going to happen when this scenario goes down.
Yeah.
And we practiced it, and then we went and we played the game and we won. We had like one or like literally one or two plays and we won the game. It was amazing. And I think that's what driver's ed really is for business. It's like the playbook.
Yeah.
Businesses could utilize, and you know, you practice it every day to win the game in your business.
And you also mentioned that your employees too, they, you know, when you launched the driver's ed program, they actually had some feedback. Can you talk about some of the feedback that they talked to you about after the program was launched?
Yeah, so I, you know, we have employees that are, you know, right out of high school, right out of college. We have employees that have been in the workforce for, you know, 3 or 5 or 10 or 15, 20, 30 years. And at every level, even our CEO, he went through the course. And it's amazing. Every single person who comes out of the course says, I had no idea that that it was like this. You know,
yeah.
I had no idea that that, you know, taking your tasks and organizing them in the way that we teach them to do in driver's ed is actually the kind of the correct way to do business and the correct way to organize your tasks in life. And it just makes you super efficient. And it's just kind of some basic professional time management skills that, you know, you don't learn in school or in the workforce anywhere. You either, you know, figure it out because you're into that sort of thing, or you took a workshop like Stephen Covey or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just like, you know, it's a natural thing and you're just like a weirdo like me who just tries to figure out how to get the most done in the least amount of time. And so when I shared this and taught this to our staff, every single one of them, you know, was just like, man, I wish I would have learned this earlier. You know, I wish I would have learned this like much younger, because it would have made a huge difference for me in school, in work, in my life. You know, it's a really valuable skill set to have.
And so you said how the first thing you did was, you know, create the driver's ed program, which in a way is a way to, like, you know, map out where they're trying to go and what it takes for them to get there in terms of the tasks that they have to do every day. So, you know, mapping out the procedures for them. I'm guessing that's what that was. Then the next thing that you did too, let me even ask it in form of a question. What was the very next thing you did? And this is in line with, you know, getting people on the same page and making sure that they had the same language. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So that is actually a really important piece in business, is that, you know, when managing a staff, one of the most important jobs any leader has is communication, you know, creating clarity whenever possible. I mean, I think that's probably like what I spend most of my time doing, making things clearer for the staff so they can execute on their work. And so and communication is difficult. Everybody has different understandings. And, you know, if I say a word, it might mean something different to you than it means to someone else. And so what we did in driver's ed is we set up a word and we defined it. We said, okay, this is what a task is.
Yeah.
This is what a project is. This is a reoccurring task. This is a deadline. And we just defined it. It made it really easy for our staff to like understand what, you know, what we're saying when we talk about things. And so now we have a language that we can use and communicate to each other. So when we say it's your business maintenance time, everybody knows what that means and they can get to work and there's no confusion. It just ends up saving a lot of time. And, you know, people are very clear about what they need to do and there's no like hurt feelings or drama or, you know, excuses.
And you also mentioned during the pre-interview that on top of this, you also took to the next level where you actually spend the time to detail out job description so that not only do they know the language and the terms you use, but for each role they play, they knew exactly what was expected of them in that role, the basic stuff too.
Yeah, that's really important. It's, you know, expectations is the most like, you know, when you set expectations and you make it so clear, you're creating a bar for your staff to get to, right? And so if you don't put that line in the sand or, you know, say, okay, we're going to go to 7, they might go to 3 or 11 or someplace else entirely, you know, Z, who knows? But if you say 7 is what we're working towards and you set that expectation, then it's really clear to everybody what they need to do. And in my opinion, you know, everybody, every person wants to work at a place and do things that they're good at and be acknowledged for the thing, you know, they want to be acknowledged. They want people to say thank you and this is fantastic and good work. They want to do a good job. And nobody wants to be told that they failed or they missed the deadline or they're late or they're bad or they're wrong. So as soon as you give them the expectations and say, okay, you're getting to 7.
Yeah.
Guess what? The majority of people get to 7. It's amazing. It's just how that works.
And one of the things I like is that you guys, not only did you break down the terminology in terms of, you know, the types of work. So the first type was business maintenance task, which were the recurring tasks that you have to do. And then on the other hand, there's this other task, which are you call growth projects. Can we talk about that too?
Yeah, so growth projects are projects or initiatives that help our organization move forward. It takes us to the next level. It either supports one of our strategic initiatives for our company. It supports one of our quarterly goals. It takes advantage of an opportunity that maybe we're missing out on or eliminates a problem that we're currently facing. So our employees actually pitch these projects themselves. I only select like 4 projects a quarter to be done for the team, but the other 50 plus projects that our organization accomplishes each quarter are all picked by the team. They pitch them themselves.
And not only does this, like during the pre-interview, you mentioned that not only does this help them to, you know, grow and get improved, you know, take their career to the next level, but they actually make more money as a result of doing these growth projects, right?
Yeah, they're gaining new skills. They're contributing to the bottom line. A lot of, you know, we had an employee, you know, this customer service rep from Mississippi who moved here. He actually pitched an idea about how to implement our clients, and we thought it was pretty clever, and so we gave him some resources, and in a quarter he improved our retention by 40%, which is huge in terms of our revenue. This punk kid.
So he started from an office engineer, became a graphics designer, and then eventually became an engineer himself.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome, and that just shows the growth when you incorporate this into the company. So I want to have you talk about how this is structured, because you said there are 2 quiet times that in the day that you mandate the employees to focus on strategic growth and growth building projects. Can you talk about how that's broken down?
Yeah. So we have 3 hours a day of what we call time block, which is total communication silence. it's a time that we set aside that's scheduled. So everybody's on the same schedule and everybody's working in time block at the same time. So there's no distractions. But how this works is, have you ever been like in the middle of writing an email or writing a paper or something?
Yeah.
And like the phone rings or someone walks into your office or you get interrupted several times. And every time you get interrupted, you have to go back and start you know, at the very beginning and figure out where you left off, and you waste all this time and energy. And so if everybody is on this kind of schedule where they're focused on their most important projects, you actually get a lot done in that amount of time because you don't have any interruptions. And so we organize our day where we do business maintenance time during business maintenance time. And everybody does their business maintenance at the same time. And this is where you can ask questions, and everybody's running around and sending emails and doing instant messaging. And then during our time block, which is focused on growth projects, it's quiet. And everybody's in their seats or in a conference room if they have to work with someone else, focused on their projects.
Awesome.
To move the business forward.
And so let's talk about, you know, some of the specific systems that you have actually have in place to make the business run without you having to be there. And I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned something about having a process for making processes. And I wanted to enlighten us on that.
Yeah, it sounds funny, but we have a process for making processes. So we have a worksheet that I created called the Process Creator.
Awesome.
And it's a step-by-step process that walks you through the creation of a process. So all of the processes in our business have similar qualities, like they have an explanation why this process is important.
Mm-hmm.
They have the steps required to complete the process with maybe links or screen share, like screencasts or pictures so people can follow along, or any appropriate documentation. And they have the reporting structure if there's any kind of reports that need to be generated and when you need to do this. So there's like a template, a format that all of our processes are created under. And so that way, anyone can just pick up our process creator and go through it and produce
exactly
a process.
Exactly the same thing, yeah.
That's exactly right.
That's awesome. I love that. As a matter of fact, I didn't ask you before the interview, but I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot. It's okay if you don't want to share that with us. But
oh, no, I can share it. Everybody
okay.
can have it. Yeah.
Okay, great. And also, you mentioned how working with an assistant yourself also helps you with – I want to talk about that. How does working with an assistant within the company help you when it comes to, you know, making more systems for the company?
Well, I have three assistants now.
Wow.
And I know many entrepreneurs have a challenge just finding something for one assistant to do. And I think the most valuable thing I have done just for myself personally, not for our organization, but just for myself and my sanity, is I made a process for being my assistant.
Wow.
I have guidelines for being Lena's assistant, and it's a several page document. It talks about, you know, how to schedule appointments in my calendar, you know, when to schedule appointments, how to determine when, you know, when to move things or when to reorganize stuff, when to ask me about certain things, when not to ask me, you know, what to include in the appointments. And that's just one item, you know, calendaring. But then there's also, you know, everything under the sun, from like how to interface with the staff, how to, you know, collect my to-dos, how to organize my workload, how to execute tasks I give to them, everything. And so whenever, before I did this, I could only actually really work with one assistant because it took, you know, years to teach them how I liked things done. And it was a very carefully cultivated relationship, and I never wanted them to go. But then, you know, after over time, it just becomes too much work. And so when I brought the second assistant on is when I went through and along with my first assistant, we created this document. And it's a working document, and it's evolved over time. But now with when we brought the third assistant on, she just pulled it up and read it and was off and running. There was no training time whatsoever.
That's awesome. And my listeners always like when I ask this question, it's like, you know, you have, in this case now, for your business, you have an entrepreneur who is interested in, you know, automating their marketing now, and they're out there researching who to work with, and then find you guys. Maybe they go from finding you guys to on the other end of the conveyor belt to becoming out there. They've used your service. They're out there raving and, you know, shouting the whole world and letting them know, hey, I love Entreport. You guys should check it out. But there is this transformation that's going on behind the scenes, right? And so I want to give us like a peek as to what's going on behind the scenes and what systems are connecting to make sure that this person is getting transformed from a potential lead to the person who's not a customer raving about you guys. What's happening behind the scenes to make that happen?
The different systems that we utilize?
Yeah, I mean, like the different parts that are making that transformation happen. As much detail as you can share.
Yeah, so everything is systemized from the moment, from how that customer got to us to the moment they filled out a form to the information they got, to the first phone call they had, the appointment and the first phone call they had with one of our reps. Everything up until that point was completely systemized and automated using our software.
Awesome.
So systemizing is the first step. Once you have a process for things, then you can get fancy and use software tools to run your processes for you. So everything up until the first phone call is completely done with our software. And then the rep who's talking to the person is, you know, going through a series of questions that they're actually completing. We call it a discovery. And they're completing the discovery notes. And there's a certain field that we want to get information on, so we can determine which training path we need to put our customer on. And because we have four different training paths based on the type of account setup and implementation they need. And from the discovery, they go down another automated path and they get different series of emails and information about the software.
Yeah.
They get routed to a different implementation rep who will set up their account for them, stuff like that.
and that's awesome. I just wanted to give the listeners some insight to how all this is working behind the scenes to make that person transform. And I'm glad you shared that. And so, we're talking about the great things about systemization, but you know, as you know, there has to have been challenges. So let's talk about some of the challenges that you had initially and what you did to solve them. So during the pre-interview, you mentioned how employees didn't realize that some of these tasks were repeatable.
Yeah, so it's challenging, and especially it's challenging for employees and for entrepreneurs. Everybody thinks they're unique and special, which they are, of course. Everybody's a unique, special snowflake. but their tasks are not. Tasks are the same. No, we're not inventing the light bulb here.
Yeah.
These are things that people do in business all the time. So what we have employees do to realize this is they carry a little yellow notebook around with them every day, all day long for 2 weeks. And every 15 minutes, a little alarm goes off and they have to write down all the tasks that they did in those 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And if they look on their list and they see that they did that task before, they have to put a little check mark next to it. And after 2 weeks, they'll see that something like 80 or 90% of the items on that list were things they did multiple times.
I like that. I love that strategy. And that's just literally saying, hey, you think what you're doing is different all the time? Well, just if you record it and you have the tracking data to track it, you can see it for yourself that it's really not. So now let's jump into working on creating systems around what you do. So the next one that you mentioned as a challenge was how it was kind of annoying when there's already a system in place, but someone goes in there and tries to change it. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that was like my biggest pet peeve for a while. people thought that they were so clever and they were going to make the system more effective or efficient because maybe there were steps to that current system that didn't seem like worth it or that seemed like cumbersome or they didn't think that needed to be done. And so then they decided to remove them from the process. And then, you know, maybe a few weeks or a month or sometimes even a few months would go by. And then all of a sudden, a problem would happen because we put that step in place for a reason. So the problem would always come up. It would always rear its ugly head. And of course, I would say, why didn't you follow the process? And someone would say, well, we did. It was changed.
Wow.
And so then we get back to the heart of why it was changed. And so now we track all change orders on processes.
So you made it basically difficult for people to change it without somebody else above them approving that it's getting changed, right?
That's correct.
And given the fact that, you know, trying to systematize a business already comes with a challenge, a lot of challenges itself, how, you know, what keep you motivated to stay committed to this new direction of, you know, always trying to systematize and improve?
Well, when your business is systemized, you can do a lot of things. You can scale your business. You can track your margins really well. You can make little tweaks to your processes that generate huge increases to your bottom line. And you can take 2-week vacations and know that your business will still run without you, and you can sleep well at night.
And so we've kind of given the listeners some insight to some of the, you know, things that are going on behind the scenes and the systems you have. But let's dive in a little bit more. So what systems, you know, do you have set up that enables the employees to know what exactly they need to do? So you, earlier on, you mentioned a clear onboarding process. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So every new employee that starts goes through a new hire training class. So they spend a week in our classroom learning our software and the way we do things around here at Entreport. So they spend a week in our classroom with our director of training, getting that kind of week-long orientation. And then that next week, they have what we call role training. Mm-hmm. So for their specific role, they either through an online platform, we actually use edX. They will
platform? FedEx? Sorry. What did you say?
EdX.
EdX. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. You can create online courses. Mm-hmm. And so our employees go through an online course for their specific role. And so they learn about their role in their department and what their job description, you know, requires them to do, all their reoccurring tasks. They learn how to do that. And they start doing it, and they, you know, usually have to shadow an employee for a couple of days, and then that employee shadows them while they do it, and then they, I mean, within 2 weeks they're up and running, full speed ahead, and then there is a week by week kind of initiative process where they have specific projects or tasks, assignments that they have to do every week that we check in on to make sure that, you know, they're gaining a very well-rounded education in their first 90 days. And then 45 days from the day they're hired, they check in with their manager and we see how far along they are in this process. And that way we can make sure that they're successful, and B, if they're not working out, we can, you know, in the relationship sooner rather than later.
And also you mentioned that even once they're in, you guys also have a knowledge base or wiki. Can you talk about that specifically?
Yeah, the knowledge base is where we store all of our processes. So, for every department, they can go in and search and figure, you know, find the process and figure out how to do something if, you know, if they're new to that department. So they don't have to go and ask someone or bother them. They can just go and search it and read the instructions and do it themselves.
Yeah, you said you guys were actually using Google Sites, but now you're moving to, what are you moving to? Confluence, I think?
Yeah, we're moving to Confluence. So we recently, like in the last year, we've started using a series of Atlassian products called Jira. And one of the Atlassian products is Confluence. And it's kind of like a wiki of sorts where there's like a Google Sites where there's like pages and meeting minute templates and, you know, any kind of template that you want. And so we use that for all of our processes and role instructions.
Awesome. So how do you track and verify the results being delivered by your employees? I think you mentioned during the pre-interview about the ticketing system for all tasks and requests.
Yeah. So now we've gotten super fancy.
Okay.
over the years, we've taken our tasks to the next level. So the tasks that are in our processes that can be automated, we have automated using our software Entreport. And the ones that can't be automated, we create tickets for, which are different issues that we track so we can make sure that the employee complete it when they complete it and if they complete it in a timely manner. So, even with my assistants, whenever I assign them a task, because you can't really automate that, like, hey, send flowers to this client because they just had a baby. You can't automate that. I actually send it in a ticket. And then there's a ticket, and then when they do it, they complete the ticket, and I can see, which tickets are open, which tickets are closed, when they got it done, and there's really amazing reporting on that. So you can make sure that there's not an employee who's not doing any work.
And you mentioned how because of the reporting that it's actually fun for the staff, they can look at stats about their progress. Can you talk about that too?
Yeah, the second we started sharing the ticket numbers with everybody, like the ticket volume and how quickly people get things done. So there's something we talk about, like first reply time and full resolution time and just total ticket volume. The employees started to create a little friendly competition and started to compete with each other with who had the most number of tasks and who could do it the fastest. And that was just how it started. And now we actually have standards, and what's expected in terms of the number of tasks that get done in a weekly basis and how quickly people should respond to things and stuff like that.
And I like that because especially if it's like how you call the business maintenance task, which is something that's repeatable. And if you're tracking the data, you can see how everybody's working and how long it's taking them to do that task. And now you have a standing point where if someone else is coming in, you can compare their performance to previous data. Is that kind of what you're aiming at?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You could say like, oh, well, this person just isn't producing the same volume as this other person. And it's just very clear and there's no question about it. There's no opinions to be had. It's just like they're right there in black and white, like this person did 150 tickets and this person did 30. It's just that clear, and so you talk to the person who did 30, hey, why are you only doing 30 tickets? What's happening there? Let's look at your work, work habits and improve what's going on here.
And since right now the business, we've shared all this with the listeners, and the business itself literally runs without you. What's been the longest time you've been away?
I went to Ecuador this year, just totally disconnected. It was in the middle of the rainforest for 10 days. And then just in June, I went to Croatia for 2 weeks, but I had internet access in Croatia, but I didn't really have to do anything.
And just so listening, we're trying to compare this to back in the day. I'm sure back in the day, you probably couldn't even just disappear and disconnect.
Never. If I even went on vacation, I was working on vacation.
I don't need to say anything. Enough said on that. And so how would you say the company has been transformed as a result of systematizing the business?
I think this is the reason we've grown so much, honestly. Yes, it has a lot to do with our product and service because, if we didn't have a good product or service, that's definitely the starting point. But I don't think we would have been able to handle the volume of work or, be able to, grow as quickly in terms of being able to service as many customers or take them on as quickly if we didn't have these systems and processes in place.
And on your personal life, how would you say your personal life has been transformed as a result of systematizing the business as well?
Well, let's see, I'm kind of a workaholic. So
if you love what you're doing, it's not work.
How it's transformed is like, I don't complain about the little stuff anymore. The things I work on are fun. And that's what's exciting. It's fun to come to work.
And so with all this free time that you have, what would you say, which areas in the business are you now currently focusing on right now and why?
So we're focusing on expanding our service offerings. We're working on expanding our marketing efforts. We're working on expanding our target market and making our software more attractive to different clients. So I don't think we would have been able to take that on if we didn't have systems and processes in place in order to handle all of our existing customers and leads that we're currently getting.
That's awesome. And so, you know, the person who's been listening to this interview all this to this point obviously is interested and is, you know, they really want to get their business systematized so it runs without them. But what would you say is the very next step that you think that they should take to, you know, get moving in that direction?
I would say the very next step they should take is the little yellow notepad just for themselves. And I do this actually with my direct reports, my management team, because sometimes they get overwhelmed and they're like, there's just too much going on. And so I say, okay, start writing down everything that you do. And what you can do too with this, when you look at the yellow sheet at the end of 2 weeks, you can actually see the things that you want to be working on and the things that you don't want to be working on. And the things that you don't want to be working on, those are the processes you should start creating now so you can delegate them immediately.
Awesome. We didn't ask you this during the pre-interview, but I want to because you are the chief operating officer. You're awesome. I can tell by just talking to you and seeing how you're communicating the information. I'm wondering, like, if the listener wants to hire a COO, what do they have to look for in a potential COO?
You know, I get asked that question all the time. And I would say there are a couple of different kinds of operations people out there. And the specific things I would tell people to look for are someone that doesn't have your same skill set. So for my CEO here, Landon Ray, he is very much like a creative visionary.
Yeah.
And a lot of entrepreneurs are like that. So if you hire an operations person that is also, you know, wants to be like a creative visionary, probably not a good fit. You want someone who is very interested in details and is more excited about executing a plan.
Awesome. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The next thing I would say is oftentimes operations people have a challenging time getting along with salespeople, and because they've, you know, operations people are just like, oh, well, that's just more work for me to do, and salespeople are like, well, it's for the sale, and so that speaks a lot of like different CEOs and COOs I know of, and so what I would also recommend is you want to make sure your operations person believes in your vision, and isn't going to stand in your way, that they're going to support your vision, because that's really important. If you have someone who believes in you and wants to execute your plan, then they'll execute your plan. But if they don't believe in it, then they're going to probably maybe not work as hard as they could have, or they might come up with, you know, plan Bs instead of a really awesome plan A. And then finally, you want someone who's a yes person.
Does that sound bad to say? I mean, I'm just wondering.
Yeah. You want someone who's a yes person. You want someone who says yes and,
okay,
not no, we can't do that, or, you know, we have too many deadlines or whatever, or, you know, we're going to have to change everything now. You want them to say yes and. So, when you have someone who says yes and, then anything's possible. So if, you know, entrepreneurs have really amazing ideas, and this happens with, you know, our CEO oftentimes too. So we're, you know, in the midst of a quarter and we're working on our projects and moving forward on the plan as we're supposed to. And then, you know, an exciting opportunity comes along and, you know, he says, hey, you know, this is something that we just really need to take advantage of and we need to move quickly. And, you know, my response is yes and. Yes and, what do we need to shift in the schedule in order to make this happen?
That's awesome.
You know, and then he can see like, okay, these are the things that we're working on. What's the lowest level priority and where does this fit in?
I love that. And so what books would you say have influenced this way of thinking and why?
You know, right now I'm totally into reading everything by Patrick Lencioni. He wrote Five Dysfunctions of the Team. And he's just, you know, he really puts, he's a really interesting organizational development consultant, and he really puts into perspective, you know, how teams should work together. And so if you have a team, it really is an excellent read, and, you know, he's very insightful. That's my recommendation.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll check that out. And so what would you say is the best way for the listener to connect with you and even thank you for doing the interview?
They can email me at lena@entreport.com.
Awesome. And final question for you, because, you know, we try to be as exhaustive as possible, but is there a question that you were wishing that I asked you and during the interview that I didn't ask you? And if so, pose the question and the answer.
What do you think the key factors to success are?
Go ahead.
I'm starting to believe, and I've just been thinking about this a lot lately, over time, I'm starting to actually believe that, you know, there are three important factors to, you know, success and driving results. And one has to do with leadership of an organization. Obviously, you know, if the leader is weak or is not inspiring, then no one will follow, right?
Yeah.
It has to do with the follower. The follower needs to be engaged, which is also true. But I'm also now starting to realize that you need to have little wins along the way in order to get the full-blown results you want. In order to keep the momentum going and motivation up. So even if you start a project and all you do is make a project plan, like acknowledge yourself and say, congratulations, first step done. And I've noticed that with my team and with me and with the CEO, with everybody, when you have little wins, the project always succeeds. When you don't have little wins, things are all up in the air.
I totally understand that. Celebrate every single point you move, no matter how little it is. I totally get that. And so I'm speaking to you, the listener, right now. If you've enjoyed this interview all the way to this point, I want you to do us a favor. Go ahead and go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. The reason for that is we want you to leave a positive review, a honest review if you really like this interview. The reason we want you to leave a review is because when you do that, other people will check out your review and want to figure out why you left such a beautiful review and come ahead and listen to the interview. And by getting more listeners and eyeballs, you know, checking out our podcast, we'll be inspired to go out there and get, you know, more COOs and even, you know, like Leonard to come on here and share, you know, the process and what makes their business successful. And finally, if you are at that point in your business where you're tired of being the bottleneck and you want to start documenting step by step how you get tasks done, well, sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Lena, we're done.
All right.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.